if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello and indeed ahoy hoy and welcome to episode 334 of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts. Hello, hi, how are you doing? Great, fantastic. Honestly, I am interested, but excuse me a minute, I've just got to introduce my co-hosts. They're Coleman and Tim.
Hi!
Hello.
We're not used to the double.
Yeah, isn't it? Both at once.
Yeah, I'm keeping you on your toes.
It's like bringing in Chuckle Brothers.
Too soon.
To me.
Coleman, too soon.
Well, then make a joke.
Too soon, but... He's not even a chuckle. He's technically just a chuckle person now.
Just a chuckle.
A chuckle. A lonely chuckle bro.
A lonely chuckle sounds so... So lonely.
So lonely. How are you chaps anyway?
Good.
Yes?
Tim, go first. I've got news.
Okay.
Well, I get me out of the way. I'm good. Whatever. Move on. What's your news?
Yeah, what's your news, Coleman?
After over a year of staying on Tim's sofa, thank you, Tim. I have a flat.
Right.
Yay.
But who's going to be the Bert to Tim's Ernie? Who's going to be the Joey to his Chandler? Who's going to be the Chong to his Cheech?
Rick lives like opposite this flat,
yeah.
So there you go.
All right, there we go.
Mix in.
But no, I just wanted to say because like the period of. Me ending up having to come stay with Tim. It was a very dark period of my life of, you know, losing my flat, my job, my relationship, all in one foul swoop, and kind of led into a dark time for me. And though I hid it on the show, I think I hid it well. I don't know. But you two chaps in particular have been very instrumental in helping me sort of get back to feeling like myself and the audience
good.
As well.
Wow, mate.
But a very special thank you to Mr. Tim, because none of this would have happened. I would have gone back home. I would have gone back to Gosport.
The best thing is, guess who you're moving 10 minutes drive from?
Dan.
Me. Yes. My other half was ecstatic when I said, hey, you know my game buddies.
Hi!
They're one of them's moving real close.
Who is that? Hi! Dan!
Oh, it's Bizarro Dan. Yes, so anyway, well, you know, well, come on, what makes for, buddy?
Yeah.
I think we've all helped each other out through the years, to be perfectly honest with you. So, what's what mates are for?
Yeah. Well, good. I thought I'd get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But do you know who Sega isn't mates with?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Pierre Taki.
Taco, we call him.
Who voices Kyohei Hamura in the Yakuza series.
Yes.
Got arrested for... Well, what did he get arrested for? He got arrested for drugs, I think, didn't he?
He, allegedly, he likes the old nose clams.
Nose clams?
Yeah, he likes the old nose clams.
Better than the arse oysters, I find.
He's into a bit of the old disco powder.
Oh, a bit of the old disco powder.
Aye. In our kind of environment and the American environment, the Western world especially, it's not unusual for anyone of an acting status to maybe divulge into some illegal activities of the drug variety.
I don't know what you could possibly mean.
You know, for one of our biggest movie stars who plays Iron Man, have a look at his past sometime.
To be fair, I think it'd be a headline if a Hollywood actor wasn't doing cocaine.
Well, lines are definitely involved, Tim. I'll give you that.
Yeah, over in Japan, apparently, it's a much bigger deal. And they had this issue before. There was an actor in Yakuza 4. And when the remake of... I think it was Yakuza 4? One of the Yakuza titles, when the remake came about, they completely recast the character, taken him out, put someone else in, new face capture, lines, everything.
Jesus.
Apparently, I didn't realise the law in Japan is if someone gets done for a drug offence, any of their artistic work has to be withdrawn from the public.
Wow.
So, and that's
By law.
So if you get done for a drug offence, that's it. Your career is over.
Is it just drug offences?
I don't know what level of drug offence, but cocaine, it was the one that was mentioned. And that level of drug offence, that's it. All your work has to be no longer available for the public to buy, basically.
Bloody hell. Well, lest you be exact your lack of morals on the wider public through subliminal messaging in your works of art.
Yes. Unfortunately, this guy is, I believe he's the main antagonist in Judgment, the Yakuza spin-off game. And that has meant in Japan, Sega's had to pull the digital game, the physical copies of the game, and stop advertising the game. And
that's really bad news for this game, basically. Yeah, it would basically presumably sold very well in Japan. It's been out for a little bit
since
already,
December.
You know? Yeah, so I don't know how it affects the sales that are already there and how it affects the available digital copies already there, which would be an interesting.
I'm assuming if it's anything like digital distribution over here, that it could be pulled, and if you own it, you can still download it, but.
Mm.
Hmm. Unless they revoke all the licenses, which would be a very dodgy thing to do.
Right. That's the situation as I know it over here. I don't know that it's definitely that situation in Japan, is what I'm saying. I don't know what the situation is there.
But
so,
in this kind of patch culture that we live in with video games these days, it is quite likely that they were, and that they've done this before, they might just take him out of the game completely.
Yeah, cast another actor and put him in the place.
Yeah. No idea how that affects the Western copies of the game, because we're meant to be having this this month, I think, the end of this month. Mm. It's very soon.
Well, I imagine as it doesn't have as many implications over here, that they're just free to release that version, and that will enable them to recoup some money and allow them to give them some time to adjust the Japanese version, and then eventually possibly release that over here as well.
But hey, it's not the first time he's been associated with snow, because he plays Olaf and Frozen as well, doesn't he, this fella?
That's the thing. Yes. And now that's it. In Kingdom Hearts, he plays Olaf, and that is a very big game in Japan, and that is now a game that Disney has to review and see if they need to patch him out. In the in Judgment, it's his voice and his facial capture, whereas in Kingdom Hearts, obviously it's Olaf, he's a snowman. Mm. It's not his facial capture.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Have you not seen?
That's not a real what?
It's not. Well, I mean,
what
do we
what?
Do? We tell him?
Yeah, no. What?
Don't break the illusion for him.
Let's just leave it at that, and Dan can carry on watching his copy of Frozen in a happy day.
Okay.
Do you want to build a snowman, Dan?
It's been years since I built a snowman.
Aww.
And we definitely don't want to have a conversation about Santa Claus for you either.
Allegedly.
Let it go.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sony. They've had a rough end to this console generation. I don't think that's unfair to say. They kind of, you know, Microsoft snuck in after doing the old dummy with, hey, we're going to release something that you can use as a cable box, to bam, there we go, fastest console on the market. Sucked Sony in, and now Sony are presumably looking away to kind of shore up their catalogue of third-party exclusives to try and stop the rot, as it were. So there's been rumours that they're going to acquire Take-Two.
I know where you're right. I know where you're leading, but where did you just come from?
I came from a magical snowland.
Sony are a bit late on crossplay, and they've had some bit rubbish PR towards the end of their life cycle. Well, assuming is the end towards the end of their life cycle, but I'm sure they can cry themselves to the bank with the most highest selling console at the moment on the market.
Yeah, no, they've got a solid lead on Xbox, but Microsoft and Nintendo have also been. They have been closing the gap rapidly.
Well, yeah,
I would say they are no longer the dominant force in the console market that they would like to think they were at the beginning of the generation.
I still think they're plenty solid. I think what's happened in this generation, before we get to the actual news of this section, Xbox, they're making good ground. There's no way they can catch up before the end of the console generation is over. But what they have done is established a very nice service in Xbox Game Pass. Nintendo, the Switch is the fastest selling console, I believe, that's ever been released, but they're nowhere near PlayStation 4 sales.
Is it as fast as the Wii?
I think it's the fastest. I did read that the other day. But anyway, so now there's a rumor going around that seems to have very little basis.
Okay.
That Sony is trying to acquire Take-Two.
Nah, they're not.
Exactly. No, there was a report that appeared in Market Watch. Now, you've got to bear with me. I don't know much about stocks. I don't do much trading.
A bit like Newswatch or all the angry people writing on a Sunday morning.
No, I believe it's just a stock market overview website type thing. And they put up an article called Boeing to Brexit. Or bowing to Brexit, sorry.
Bowing to Brexit, a great misspeak there at the moment. But yeah, yes.
Apologies.
Taking it to the max, were they? Very good.
Yeah, and they've since now revised their article, but initially it said, Take-Two Interactive Software stock climbed 4.7% on rumours that Sony Corp is in advanced board-level discussions to acquire Take-Two Interactive in mostly cash deal. That would value the company at $130 a share, according to Joel Kalina, the head of technology and media and trading at Wedbush Securities. Since then, Kalina has come out to say that this is purely unconfirmed market speculation. He doesn't know what the source of the story is, but if he did say it, he must have been misquoted over the phone. He doesn't know actually where this has come from. So this kind of very quickly caught fire and then very quickly died down. So it looks like that might not be a thing.
So we're reporting this isn't a thing.
We're reporting the news, Tim. We're reporting that the speculation out there maybe.
If you heard the speculation, then maybe not, basically.
Don't get your hopes up that Grand Theft Auto 6 is a console exclusive.
I mean, what Take-Two, honestly, would have absolutely nothing to gain from this.
Yeah.
It's strategically a terrible move for them.
The microtransaction money of GTA Online is starting to see its decline in comparison to the previous years, but I don't think that means
Thank God it only took people, what, 4 years to come to their senses? Brilliant. Good. Well done, everyone.
Possibly longer. Don't forget it was on the previous generation. I don't think that means they're going to suddenly be bought by Sony.
No.
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 It's a nice story, though. It's an interesting one. It got chins a wagon.
Well, look, I do think that all the sort of platform, console platforms will be looking to do what Microsoft have already aggressively done, which is try and buy up some third parties. This one may be a bit too big, but you could see them trying at least.
Maybe.
Possibly.
No.
And it's, you owe his agent, let us buy you.
That's how this has come about.
That's
people
how this
really want agent.
Well, let's talk.
You still owe us a game. How about we just buy your whole company?
And maybe. Then you make agent.
And then we'll have our agent.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. All right. Tim, good theory. We like it. We'll run with that. It's not only other. That's not the only rumor going around. But this one's a little more concrete because Google, overlords of everything,
yes,
apparently have a future of gaming round the corner.
Yeah, and again, this is part rumor, part fact. So there's a GDC keynote coming up.
A rumor, if you will.
Where they're going to unveil what looks like it's going to be their gaming plans. They put out a trailer showing different backdrops of video games, like sci-fi and fantasy and adventure.
Yeah.
And it looks very video gamey.
It was kind of like going through an environment kind of thing, wasn't it?
I mean, to be fair, just Google rocking up to a GDC is a pretty big deal in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you don't expect Google to go, "Hi, everyone, would you like to announce a new version of Solitaire? It's really great."
But we'll know what they're actually doing on the 19th of March from, I think it's 5 o'clock in the UK. It will be streamed. But the point where the rumor comes in is you may have seen a picture of a controller, a Google controller, jumping all over the internet.
Yes, the highly generic controller of controllerness. I have seen it.
It's the Ouya-2 by the looks of it. Yeah.
But BS, apparently, no?
Yeah, it's a fan rendering of an early concept art, apparently.
So it's not going to look like that.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of these thrown around like they're fact without any kind of follow-up to say, oh, sorry, this is all rubbish.
That's the design that you register before you've done any ergonomic testing or actually made it what you want kind of thing.
It's the Nintendo Switch VR before the Labo.
So do we reckon this is, I'm assuming it's going to kind of relate to the Project Stream service that they've been kind of slowly building up
at Google.
Well, yeah, it's rumored to be a streaming service type thing that they'll be announcing, kind of platform.
Supercomputers streaming to ordinary boxes and laptops and things and phones. And
taking a big old virtual whiz down the intertubes and powering your tiny little console with loveliness.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's in store.
If it's going to be, well, I mean, it's going to be quite interesting to see how they release it, because, I mean, kind of long-distance streaming of games, I still don't think we're there from an infrastructure. But if anyone can get that infrastructure together, I suppose it's Google, right?
Mm. Yeah.
It would be really interesting to see what they've got. But, you know, in home streaming of games from one thing to another, like with Steam, or, you know, an Xbox to a PC, or, heaven forbid, the other direction is apparently on the cards. It's, you know, that is fine because you can control pretty much all the kind of the snags you might encounter in a home network. But I still think long range stuff. I mean, we've seen on life. I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say PlayStation Now not really hitting the expectations I think we initially envisaged for it. So
yeah, they can always turn around. They let you
if
download
anyone's
games.
Anyone's
going
to get it right, though. I put my money on Google.
Yeah, I mean that.
Not
beta,
that they need my money.
The beta test they've been doing, where people have been able to play the latest Assassin's Creed for nothing. Apparently, that's been testing very well.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think it's the question everyone wants to know. Really, is it going to work on the Ouya?
No.
No.
Everyone
don't
wants to know.
Don't your Ouya still work?
Called Tim.
I don't know. I haven't plugged it in for a while. I should check it out.
It hasn't been plugged in since I've seen it. The most action I've seen of that is when me and Kev played catch with it once.
Can you? Have you not converted it into a noodle containment device, as it secretly wants to be?
It does look like one, yeah. You could put a chow mein in there.
You could. I reckon you could disassemble that thing and do cool things with it. I wonder if you could fit a Raspberry Pi in there.
Could probably fit a Raspberry Pi in there alongside everything else that's already in there.
If people weren't trying to take the mick with those things and sell them for like hundreds of pounds on eBay, I'd like
it's
to get...
It's a collector's item!
Yeah, I'd like to get a stock of them, then have them bronzed and put on plinths, and then give them out as like worst game of the year awards.
I would actually like to buy a bunch of them and actually put little jack-in-the-boxes inside them instead.
Ah, little...
That'd be amazing!
What's going to happen when I do this? Did it. Whoa, man came out. Love it. Game of the year
actually,
on the
year. You probably could fit you probably could fit a little Raspberry Pi in there. Wow, that's an... I never knew. I'm just looking at the iFixit teardown of the Ouya. That is, there's some incredible over-engineering in that thing.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, I got distracted by pictures of shiny things.
Right. Those are quickly your headlines this week.
Yeah, so that GDC keynote is on the 19th of March at 1700 hours Zulu time.
Yes. Thought you'd appreciate the formatting there.
Indeed. So be there and stuff, I guess. But that's not the only newsy things. I mean, the kind of the low-grade news that we like to call points of interest is incoming, and we've already alluded to one of them, so smack me up with it, coal man.
Microsoft, they have a wireless display app. It was made predominantly for the Microsoft Surface, the weird tablet-laptop hybrid thing. That is now available on the Xbox One, and you can use it to stream games from your PC to the Xbox One, which was rumored, and everyone went, why? And now
I wonder
you can
if you can
do
stream
it.
A game, PC game to your Xbox One, and then stream that back to your PC.
Oh God, no! Think of the input lag. now this is you'll see this on your phone. Little square with the little waves on it. You can cast to TVs and things and smart devices and what have you.
Boom, bottom of a shoe.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
They did a preview version of this about 2 years ago, I think, on the Xbox One. I used to use it for a bit. I'd cast podcasts to it and listen to podcasts through the TV. And you can use it for that. You can cast videos to it and photos and things. But yeah, you can also cast PC games to your Xbox One now for some reason.
Okay.
Presumably, though, I would highly recommend that you do so over a wired Ethernet connection.
No, it's a wireless thing.
No. But I would, if you can, do it over. Or is it just beaming and cast?
No, it's casting, Dan. You can't wire.
No, but
you can
do that over wired or wireless connection.
Not with these connections. Not with these apps.
Yeah, you can.
I don't think you can.
I bet you can.
Not for this one.
I bet you can.
That's why there's the waves on the icon.
The little waves.
The little waves, Dan.
Bet you can.
Katrina and the little waves. Tiny Katrina and the little waves.
I'm looking it up. You can't stop me. It's a free world.
That's fine. While you're looking that up, I'm going to run for a couple of other things.
All right.
Battlefield 5's long-awaited Battle Royale mode, the Firestorm mode, will be added as a free update to Battlefield 5 on the 25th of March. Hopefully, it doesn't crap the bed this time.
Too little, too late, maybe. But
I'm not surprised if anything has a Battle Royale mode in it now.
I mean, Tetris has a Battle Royale mode, so...
What would you like to see? I know we ask this question every couple of weeks, but genuinely, what would you love to see have a Battle Royale mode in it?
Devil May Cry 5.
Overcooked. 100 cooks. Parachute onto an island.
Just Cause.
Got to find your ingredients.
No, Just Cause. You've already got the parachute.
Well, they tried that. There was a fan mod for Just Cause 3, I think, where it enabled multiplayer, and that kind of had an open-ended number of players in it, so technically you could do that.
Yeah, it was for Just Cause 2, it looked mad, and then they started developing it for Just Cause 3, and then Avalanche Studios hired the guy, so he shut the mod down. Presumably to work on multiplayer for Just Cause 4, which never happened. I mean, the game did, the multiplayer didn't, but anyway.
But they secretly wished the game didn't.
I digress. How is wired connection on the casting, Dan?
I'm on it.
Okay.
No. Take advantage, you need an Xbox One console, boom. Mm-hmm. Windows 10 PC, boom. Network connectivity. They must be on the same home network, which can be wired or wireless. Ha!
All right.
Ha! Because otherwise, what would be the point of having the PC in the same room? Are you seriously saying you need to take your monitor into the front room and wave your finger up it so it mysteriously flicks over from one screen to another? No, you blithering idiot. You do it over an Ethernet cable like you bloody well should.
Okay. Speaking about wired connections to the PC for some reason.
Fired up now.
Yeah, Master Chief Collection is coming to the PC.
Yeah! With the best of all the Halo games, Reach. As the opening salvo.
Yeah, so Halo Reach was added to the collection later. If you bought it on between a certain date, you got it for free. If not, like me, you had to pay for it extra.
And that was ODST, actually, I think.
Was that ODST? Oh,
that was the one that was added for free.
Oh, I wonder if that's included,
I think
then.
Halo's going to be... I think Halo Reach is probably going to be... additional quid monies, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, that's it. Reach was the one with the different party members. Like, there was five
basically Bungie's precursor to Destiny.
It was the
much.
One, if you bought the really expensive, like, 200 quid version, it came with all these action figures on a diorama set that...
You're describing, like, every Bungie game for
No, there was, like, five Spartans on a set. I remember this specifically because I remember going into game a few months later and they were selling them for about 20 quid. These 200 quid editions that they made way too many of. And apparently people who worked in certain game stores would take them out, put them in sexual positions, then put them back in the box and sell them, which I really like.
Well, you would, though, wouldn't you?
If your name's Dan and you work for game, apparently.
The one kind of slight unknown is whether or not this will be cross-buy as well, because I own Master Chief Collection digitally, and it's whether or not I will be able just to straight up download that again on my PC using the same purchase that I did previously. It's a bit of an unknown at the moment.
Yeah, you'd expect to, with the kind of state of Xbox gaming being playable on everything on the PC is when you make one purchase and all that kind of stuff. So maybe.
Yeah, and that'd be like first party for them. So you would have thought that was one they would.
I mean, if only we had a guy who owns a Master Chief Collection on the Xbox who also has a PC.
Could, you know, possibly
hey,
find
morning.
Out. There's some homework for you, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's not out yet. I can't travel forward in time, Tim.
Crytek, they've got a game that's currently in early access on the PC, but it will also be making the jump to Xbox Game Preview. It's called Hunt Shadow Down, and it's a horror shooter that will be released on Xbox Game Preview in the spring. So if you're looking forward to that game, there you go. So Rebellion Games, we like Rebellion. We have some friends of Rebellion. They've announced today that there are four new Sniper Elite games coming out in some form.
We have some friends of Rebellion. You sound like we've kidnapped a few people from Rebellion.
If you want to see.
We must have review copies if you want to see them alive.
If you want to see Joe back, we're going to send her piece by piece back to Rebellion.
Whoa, that escalated.
Yeah. Well, they've announced four different Sniper Elite games. So some are re-releases, some are new games. There's going to be a fifth mainline Sniper Elite game. I'm assuming it's called Sniper Elite 5. A Sniper Elite VR title, Sniper Elite Ooh. 3 Ultimate Edition for the Switch, and Sniper Elite version 2 Remastered.
Okay.
Ooh.
You're going to be shooting a lot of balls. So Sniper Elite version 2 Remastered, Sniper Elite 3 Ultimate Edition, and Sniper Elite VR are going to release sometime this year, but we won't hear anything about Sniper Elite 5 until 2020, whether it will be released next year or whether we just hear about it next year. Who knows?
You know, the Sniper Elite games, I've heard loads of people really kind of rave about them, but I've never touched them, really. Because I'm just bloody terrible at sniping in FPSs.
I think you'd really like that. If you've ever played the game, was it Stranglehold? The John Woo game?
Yeah.
Where you could shoot people in bullet time slow motion in the knackers and watch them X-ray explode.
Basically, are you just saying, Dan, you've got an absolutely childish sense of humour.
Exactly.
You can slow-mo shoot people in the in this game.
And when you get bored of that, you could shoot them in other places, possibly.
You'll probably find yourself becoming the most amazing sniper of all time because you can sniper people in the dick.
Always the nutshot. Always the nutshot. That would be my calling card. They're like, he died. Died due to a gunshot wound to the left testicle. Yeah, it must be the work of Gibbons.
Sniper Elite Ultimate Edition on the Switch is something that interests me. I'm sure Sniper Elite VR is something that will be up Tim Street if that comes to PSVR.
Have I taken this in a direction you really didn't want it to go in?
It's gone very dark.
No, to be fair, I got comedy relief by imagining Gibbons with sniper rifles, but anyway.
Oh, as in Gibbons the monkey, rather than me.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know.
Damn you, Sniper Gibbons! It's a bit high for you, I'm sorry. Anyway, we've got a couple more to run through, guys. The Sinking City, we've been covering that a bit on the website.
Is it sunk yet?
It's not sunk yet. This is a Lovecraftian-style horror-y game coming to the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. It was meant to come out on the 21st of March. It's now been pushed back to the 27th of June.
Normally wouldn't be that interested in this, but these are the guys that did the quite fun Sherlock Holmes games recently. And yeah, so this is what they're doing next, so I'm more interested in this game than I would be otherwise. But yeah,
you're big into Lovecraftian horror, Tim?
No, but I did like their Sherlock Holmes games.
There you go.
I'm surprised because they're thematically similar to Calamari.
Hmm. So Cthulhu joke there from Dan.
Yeah.
Hmm. There you go. This might turn you into like a massive H.P. Lovecraft fan.
It's something I've come across more in board games more recently.
No, H.P. Lovecraft, not H.P. Source, Tim.
The venture into that
realm. They're very different things.
Elder Sign being the one that I've played the most, but hey.
Anywho. We very rarely talk about a game going gold. I think we've only ever spoken about it in regards to No Man's Sky. I have to mention this. Ben Studio have announced that the upcoming PlayStation 4 exclusive Days Gone has gone gold 2 months ahead of its April release. That means that the principal development of the game has been completed and ready for the discs to be sent out for manufacturing. Basically, I just wanted to say it's done now. It's going to be played. Like, just get over it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what?
They need to bring this game out so it can be forgotten.
Just let it happen.
I think that's the thing. Everything I've seen about this game, which, okay, for those of you who've slipped into a coma because of it, it's you are ride and fight into a deadly post-pandemic America. Ooh, everyone's kind of turned into a zombie and it's open world and it's survival. And
definitely not zombies.
Rabid humans. Freakers.
I know.
That's quite freaky,
definitely
baby.
Not zombies.
Not zombies, Dan. Freakers.
Don't say the Z word.
Definitely not like
We don't say the Z word, Dan.
No.
Days
anyway, don't say the Z word.
Don't say the
Sorry.
Z word.
Sorry. It is the vitally challenged. How is that? Is that better? Is that more PC?
That's fine. Previews seem to be quite favourable from what I've read so far, but then heard a more audio account of someone that wasn't contracted to keep certain things out of the game, and they went, it's jank. It's well-made jank, but it's still jank. So I don't know. I might actually pick this up.
I don't know.
I like a single player story.
Generic to me.
Yeah.
I want to support the single player story.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I want, you know, it'd be lovely to see it succeed, but everything I've seen at the moment doesn't really. I don't really understand what's different than to this compared to all the other very similar games
motorbikes.
In this genre.
It looks like it looks like an interesting game that I don't really want to play, kind of thing. You know what I mean? But whereas footage of Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice has done the opposite with me. It was going, oh, okay, I might actually have to pay attention to that. Anyway.
And the last one, we had a little bit of a late arrival, probably about 20 minutes before we started recording. The studio that developed the original Left 4 Dead, Turtle Rock, they have joined forces once again with Warner Brothers Interactive. Not since the lofty heights of Evolve has this happened, but they are making a spiritual successor, by the looks of it, to Left 4 Dead, called Back for
Left
Blood.
Left 4 Bread, and you've got to go and find a loaf of bread to stave off hunger in a post-apocalyptic, post-pandemic America.
And you're a duck.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's called Back for Blood, and it looks like a four-player teamy up, let's kill all the bad dudes. But also, you can have a four-player fighty up. So
fighty
up?
Yeah, you can...
You can just turn on each other.
You can PvP, and you can
PvPvE.
When you're standing up.
PvEvPvP.
Yeah.
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 PvPvE? PvEvP.
PvP and PvE.
PvP.
Not P2P, that's something completely different. Anyway, the game is bound for PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One. Doesn't have announced release date, but you can look up more information, which reading through a lot of it isn't much. They're just kind of gone.
I really, really hope that all the character names are puns on the names of people from Take That.
I'd play that. But then this is the rubbish Take That, where there's only four of them, and my man Robbie isn't represented correctly.
Your boy.
Maybe he'd be an end boss.
He could be.
Although,
you know, if you're going to do a Take That game,
I'm now slightly Googling for zombie-related Take That puns.
I'm going to link this to a point in my life that I don't usually admit, but maybe... So when I went to see Take That live...
What?
You met zombie Robbie Williams?
Whoa, Tim, shut up. What?
When I went to see Take That live, because of a bet that kind of went out of hand...
Let me explain
the method of my madness. Four of them came out. They did their show and the new album and all that kind of stuff. And then Robbie Williams comes out. He does Let Me Entertain You. He does a few solo songs. And then they all join together. Oh. They join forces and they do like a little... They do their original songs.
What?
And it was quite entertaining and lovely. So maybe the Robbie Williams pun character that we've made up randomly for this show would be a DLC character to come later.
That was a very long-winded way out.
Pot kettle black, mate.
Well, yes, but also, in my stories where I'm wearing away about menus and stuff, I don't generally admit to going to see Take That live either.
Still, you got a problem with Take That? Look, that's like saying just because that is wrong means I'm not wrong. They're both wrong.
They're the Beatles of our time, Tim. The fifth member of the Beatles had a brain aneurysm and died. Robbie Williams is sadly still with us. So, wow, that killed that one.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow, wishing death upon popular celebrities. Jolly good. Right, let's move on.
Just before we do, did you guys particularly play Left 4 Dead that much? It was a game that I liked but didn't play as much as I probably otherwise would have done.
Yeah, I mean, I still dip into it occasionally. It can be a bit... It's a good extra life game, generally, I found.
That's
Just to dip
game.
Into. I think kind of in its day, it really was truly groundbreaking, just because it really genuinely felt like you and your mates fighting off the horde. And it was at its absolute best when it was you and three mates, when it was a bunch of randoms, not so much.
Well, I used to play it with my housemate and then two CPUs, and... We used to play it a lot. And then I remember when I, years later, I'd moved out and moved in with randoms that I didn't really know that well. And then I just remember sort of talking to one of the guys, and we both setting up our Xbox and go, so do you like Left 4 Dead? Oh, I love Left 4 Dead. Excellent. Right. We can do this.
But yeah, I'm not sure what setting they'll go for with the new game, though, kind of thing. Whether how much of a spiritual successor, how much of a departure
through the Care Bears universe is what it's going to be. Tim,
I mean, as they're joining forces with Warner Brothers Interactive again, I'm quite looking forward to the ridiculous amount of microtransactions and characters they're going to sell us.
Oh,
it's a little Evolve burn for you there.
Would you like to buy some pills?
I would not.
Over here. Yeah.
Cool.
Also, there'll be a giant kraken or something that appears. And it will cost you £25.
Well, we done played, boys. I haven't played much. The only thing I can say is I bought some new monitors and they're lovely.
Well done,
you. I know that's a really cool story, but I've gone so PC Master Race that I'm turning my nose up at 60 frames a second now, and now it's 144 frames a second.
Well done, you. Did you buy one for each eye?
Yes.
Just strap them to each eye.
This is Dan's homemade VR.
I now constantly walk about with two 24-inch monitors gaffer taped to my head.
Excellent. I'm very happy for you and your new monitors.
Yeah. Mm. They've got thin bezels, mate. I love me a thin bezel.
I'm still playing Trials Rising. It's still very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing it nearly as much as I'd like to. I still think this is a great fit for the Switch, even though you can't really get the precision down that you would on the PC, PlayStation, or Xbox.
How close have you come to throwing your Switch out of a tube door?
Not close at all. Because I can't afford a new one.
Right. Because I distinctly remember getting quite triggered by Trials on the Xbox.
I'm now getting to a point where I've realised that I need to stop doing as many flip-de-doos as I tend to do in Trials.
Sorry, I didn't catch that technical term. Could you just run that by me again?
Flip-de-doo, that could be the flip forward or the flip backwards, Daniel.
Right, okay. Yes. Right, gotcha.
The flip-de-doos. So the flip-de-doos, I'm trying more and more to not just burn through it and do backflips and front flips and what have you, and actually try to speed my way through like a competent player. But it's very fun, and like there's a level that I keep going back to because I just love it so much, because you'll do like your normal for Trials, but you'll have these you have all your different levels, and then you'll have like a big main level to do, and there's one based on a movie set that I absolutely love, because the course changes along with the different scenes you're riding through this movie studio. So at one point there's like big explosions, and then a car light goes in the air, but it's on strings, so it's held upside down, and that's a platform for you to land on. I really like stuff like that. But then there's a point where you just move into what looks like a very plain area, and then you've realized it's a green screen. Then all of a sudden there's aliens and big explosions and lasers firing and stuff all around you. And as well, all the obstacles that are there, they can take you out, but if you die at that point, it all goes back to green screen and there's nothing there for you to hit. It's really very strange, but I really like the visuals on this game and the creativity behind the, you know, I used to play, the biggest I've ever got into Trials is I used to work in an office with very little to do, and we had the original Flash version of Trials, and this is probably the most I've ever gotten into Trials since those days, kind of thing. I haven't had a chance to try the tandem bike mode yet, so I'll have to report back on that one. But I keep accidentally activating
that. Is that awesome as it sounds?
I don't know, because it looks awesome, but I need to sit down with two people and actually play it.
Can you do that over the internet?
I believe so. I was going to try it with the Joy-Cons, but I keep accidentally activating that while I'm on the tube and then having to go through a lot of loading time for it to wait to back out again, because it keeps trying to register two people when there is just me on my own. Well, I'm not on my own. There's loads of people on the tube. I haven't asked any of them if they want to play Trials with me.
Oh, please do.
I'll give it a try one day.
Yeah, please do.
Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trials, it's I recommend Trials. Apparently the PS4 version is still a bit balked. Xbox One and PC seem to be your main ways to go. I quite like the Switch version as a handheld game, though. It is my favourite mobile game that doesn't exist on mobile yet. Or does it? Did it come to mobile?
There are knockoffs of it.
Well, there are Trials games on the mobile.
They get very frustrating very quickly because it is next to impossible to get the degree of precision you need.
Touchscreen as well, I'd imagine.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway. Division 2 is out on the day we release this, and I have my copy preloaded, but because I'm moving house, I won't have internet for a week.
Well, I picked up Division 2 as well, but I've been waiting for young Kevin. Kevin, what? I could have played it a couple of days early, but I've been a good boy and elected not to, so I could experience the joys.
Is that because you bought a silly expensive version?
Well, I cashed in some of my Uplay points for 20% off.
Oh.
which seemed like a jolly good idea.
So you spent more money.
He's thinking,
no, I ended up spending the same amount of money because I saved 20%.
Well done, you.
Yeah. And now unless I saved 20% off the standard version, that would have saved money.
There is some man maths in there.
There is.
There is always man maths, Tim. Always man maths.
I mean, but you could have used those points to unlock PC wallpapers.
Hey, look, you know, I'm as excited to get around the post-Trump apocalypse of Washington, D.C. as the next person, but, yeah. I thought I'd wait for my buddy, because it's, you know, all about cooperation and stuff.
It's better together and stuff.
If for the same amount of points, they let you buy a MAGA hat, would you have gone for that or the discount on the super expensive version?
I would have gone for the discount on the super expensive version.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Division 2 more next week for Dan, probably the week after for me when I actually have the internet and I can play it. But Tim has been playing Devil May Cry 5, and I am insanely jealous because I really want to play this, but I very sensibly put my money down on the Division 2, not realising I'd be moving. So, Tim.
Nice.
Please tell me about the Division 5 and how much I hate you.
Division 5?
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
in the future.
Go on,
tell me
time
about
traveling, Tim.
Tell me about Devil May Cry 5.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna just talk about, because we always say whether we got review codes or not. But I also want to talk about why this influenced my purchasing decision, basically, because generally was gonna. I kind of reserved. I might buy Anthem at the moment.
Yep.
Don't do that.
As we discussed, I also considered DOA.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, maybe not. So, but
so
I
did the internet.
I wandered into a game. Remember them?
Yes.
What?
game. Where did you find that?
Did you have your VR helmet on again, Tim?
Central London. Anyway.
Did you travel like one side of London to the other to find that?
Jesus.
Central London.
Did you go hang on. Did you go outside?
Yeah, anyway.
Did you go to Soho to buy a game?
No, was it? It's not. Oh, yeah. Well, it's near Soho. Yeah.
Game Soho.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, basically, it's, I wandered in, and Anthem, £60, as expected.
As expected.
DOA was like 55, 50-something, 53 maybe.
Is this story going to get any better?
But anyway, just...
And then I went into Sainsbury's, and the price of the sandwiches was £3.25 for a chicken salad.
Was £45, so I was well, I can buy that, and yeah, fine.
Do you want a lot of savings, or should I, Dan?
Sorry, I slipped into a coma there.
Okay.
Well, no, but
I grabbed Thor's hammer.
Just, you know, I was there. That was that influenced my decision. I could have bought a game. That was a game I'd considered buying for, you know, Anthem. I'd pre-ordered it. I'd have spent £60 anyway, kind of thing. So I was like, well, yeah, sorry.
That's
I can buy this
price for a brand new game. Also, in this day and age.
Yeah, also, if I don't like it that much, I can trade it in and get something else. It's
Anthem
physical
and brick your system.
But anyway, yeah. Like,
actually, I found out why that happens. It doesn't brick your system. It's so poorly optimized that it just makes your PS4 overheat and it goes and turns itself off so it doesn't self-immolate.
Oh, my old one used to do that.
But Devil May Cry, I've been a general fan of the series. I liked 4, I liked DMC, and yeah, this one feels like it's treading some ground in between those two things while favouring a bit more towards, you know, the general series of 4 and before, basically.
So DMC 5, hack and slash, you can use swords and guns, and you pick up different weapons along the way. And
so
over
far
the years,
sounds very much like every other Devil May Cry game.
Well, that's
convinced me why this is different.
If you like DMC, that's a good thing. How far are you invested in the series? Have you played like 1 to 2 to 3 to 4?
I've played bits of 1 and 2, more of 2 than 1, I think. I've played bits of 3, most of 4, and all of DMC.
So going into this...
Familiar with the series.
Yeah,
but
familiar with, not a diehard.
Yeah.
So in terms of the story, because the story's quite a bit bonkers in Devil May Cry.
Well, yeah, there's a catch-up thing that I haven't actually watched yet, but I've heard doesn't really help you that much. And to be fair, like, the story and the way they've set things up is very much you're in at the deep end of the story kind of thing anyway. It feels almost like you're coming in at the final act kind of thing.
Okay.
But then it kind of builds up through flashbacks and through, like, it kind of steps back from that a little bit. And
is it a framed narrative, Tim?
Not entirely, but...
I know, that's one of your favourite things as well.
but yeah, you're playing
is it,
through the
is
part
it thematically
of,
similar to a frame narrative?
No.
Is it thematically similar to Bayonetta?
Yes.
There you go.
Well, of course it is.
We got there in the end.
But yeah, but so anyone doesn't know.
So if it's got sword in it, is it thematically similar to For Honor? That's what I want to know. For Honor. Is it thematically similar to For Honor?
No.
See? Proving the point I was making several shows ago, Timothy. Continue!
No, it isn't. It's unproving your point. But anyway, thank you. Right.
That's really not.
But yeah,
we're going to bang your heads together in a minute.
If anyone doesn't know, like, Dante was the kind of original character in the series. Nero was introduced at some point in the series. Was
it three.
Three?
Yeah. Four, sorry.
Three, four?
No, four.
Four? Okay.
Virgil was introduced in three.
Right, okay. And
then DMC turned Dante into Matt Bellamy from The Muse.
And you play as those characters through the game, but Dante doesn't come into it until later in the story than I've played through yet.
It's like three.
Damn
it.
Yeah, so you're starting as Nero, but he's got a few differences to him through like something that happens to him in the story. He loses his arm, basically. Mysterious character turns up.
Devil arm?
Literally, yeah, rips his devil arm off and nicks it and goes away. And then you get a kind of you get a different kind of power that's like interchangeable arms, like devil arms that can do different functions and different things. Mm. But that leads to a little bit of more variety in some of the gameplay than I think was possibly there before, because you've got the different arms and you can also structure them in different like configurations for how they'll appear in the lineup of things that you get, but you can also pick them up in the the only thing with that is if you pick one up in the level, which you generally want to do if they're just lying around and you've got space, but then that will alter the lineup of what you're
who's leaving all these arms lying around.
Yeah, just that
Nintendo
there is some MacGuffin excuse for that.
Oh, okay.
them being the case, but I can't remember
things
what
about
it is
the Mega
basically.
Man blaster arm thing, but unfortunately that's in the deluxe version only.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you that there's one of those arms that you get fairly near the beginning of the game where it allows you to fire a rocket and then you can surf that rocket into things.
Oh, excellent.
It's good fun every time.
I think Dante does that in one of the games. Surfs a rocket.
That's pretty good. It's kind of, you know, combo based and always kind of rating the combos that you're getting and you're kind of always aiming for that S rank, you know, Japanese style type
triple
of thing.
S.
But like, you know, they were partially responsible at least, or, you know, for creating a kind of subgenre to themselves of this hack and slash style game. And I think this is them kind of coming back and going, hey, yeah, look, we remember how to make these. Hmm. It's kind of highly Japanese in its structure in terms of like level design, I think, and stuff as well. But it, within that, it's very expertly done and, you know, nicely polished to that level. The combo system and the combat system, rather, and, you know, that kind of flow is very, very fluid. And I'm not entirely fluid with it. I don't know what it is. I feel I connect a little bit more with the Bayonetta combat than I do with this kind of thing.
I'm the other way around. I play Bayonetta, but couldn't quite get along with it because it just wasn't DMC.
Well, I like the slowing down time mechanic dodge thing, and that almost feels missing for me in this kind of thing. But
you get a time arm, don't you?
As I said, I still haven't played with Dante yet, and so obviously he's a bit different. But I've just started playing with the other character that's new for this game, which is V, and he plays very differently to like most of the characters in the series so far. You're kind of weak physically close up, but you're fighting with some like demons. Pets that you have
demons
to yourself,
and
kind of things.
And stuff.
Well, no, it's more just like straight up. Those two demons attack things,
okay,
but they can't kill things and finish them off. You have to finish them off.
Okay, that's interesting.
And you've also got a third demon that you can summon as a big special type thing, and it's the kind of big hulking monster that kind of stomps on everything. And eventually, you can level up so that you can jump on that's back and control that when that comes out, so you can. But then hit things with it and stuff, basically. But yeah, like generally, you're sending out a kind of panther shadow type thing and another creature that's a bird, basically.
Cat and a bird.
Yep. And they're basically your two attacks, like you would have with square and triangle normally. and then you've got circle for doing your finishing off move. And if you're locked onto something, you can just zoom straight to it and finish it off, basically. But it has to be in a certain state, and you have to beat it up with the other two to do that. But also, they have their own health bar, so if they get messed up too much, they'll go into like this kind of ball thing where it needs to regenerate for a bit, and then they'll come back. Huh. And you can speed up that regeneration just by standing near them for a bit. But okay, obviously, you're a bit weak, so that's hard to do in some combat and stuff, basically.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really a question. It's an observation, I guess. There isn't... This isn't an online game. It's a single-player game, but there seems to be an online element to it that I keep hearing
and
about.
I don't,
but I'm not fully sure what that is.
I haven't really, like, checked that out too much yet. I don't really know what exactly the deal was. That there was some network, like, sending information between players and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I was hearing something like
leaderboards, anything like that, because it's kind of, it struck me as a game that's always been
if I got this right, there's sections of the game where the characters will overlap, and in an area where you would be V somewhere and Dante would be somewhere else, but close in the same area, another player's in your friend list, their data from fighting that level as Dante would be in the background, fighting while you're fighting, and then you can rate them if they're
great. Yeah, you can say they're stylish. Or
yeah, stylish and all that stuff. There's also outside of the game released, because they're doing the Bloody Palace, which is like the endurance type mode they release in all of these games. They're patching that in later, and someone did some crawling, and it looks like there might be a multiplayer element to the Bloody Palace, so that could be fun. But if you haven't actually played that section, then I can't. Yeah, but I wanted to know more about that, because that seems strange.
but so far, kind of, as I said, V plays differently, because you've got to, like, it's good with Nero and Dante generally to be stuck in, so you can be using your sword, because that's, you know, your main damage dealer mainly, kind of thing. It's better to be a bit more reserved with V, and you've got to be a bit more careful about where you'll end up after you hit something and dodging out of the way. But he's quite good with his dodges as well. You can use your character creatures to, you know, your summoned demon creatures to move you out
of
the way.
So
he's
just walking around, because
well,
he looked like he was speaking poetry in the little bit I saw you.
Well, that's
he's
the other
walking
thing
around
as well.
With a book, like,
yes,
casting
you've what?
Creatures.
You've got, he's very...
And he looks like
Kylo Ren. highly... emo, basically.
Yeah.
He can read poetry to recharge his devil trigger meter, basically.
Bloody millennial.
Is the bird... It's
even infected good old-fashioned action games.
Is
bloody
the bird demon a raven? Because I could see him just quoting Edgar Allan Poe. And
yes,
then the birds are going, nevermore!
Yeah, it's not quite... it's kind of got a weird mouth thing demon thing going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's, right.
Weird
it's
mouth
kind
demon
of
thing.
Weird, half vultury, half eagly.
So I have a question.
Thing. Yeah.
Dated, eh?
Without equipping the various appendages that you're referring to earlier, are all the characters a little bit armless?
How long have you been waiting for that?
Only one of
quite
them.
Quite a while.
Only one of the three. But yeah, I mean, it's an enjoyable game, and it's one of those things where I probably won't go back and replay it that much, having played it again. That's why I mentioned possibly trading it in. But yeah, like it's one that I know a lot of people get enjoyment out as well. It's a very well-made game, basically. You know what I mean? It's a very well-made version of this type of thing. The cutscenes are really well presented and good fun, and yeah, like it's been enjoyable. So I've only kind of dipped my toes in a little bit. Rick, friend of the show, has played it to completion and is a bit more of a diehard fan of the series, and said he really loved it as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing it. And I'm in that position where by waiting, because usually if I want to pick up a new game, it's so I can talk about it on the show. That's the only reason I go for day one, really. So we kind of cutting edge. If you're playing it, that's fine. I can wait on the back burner. It'll go down in price before I know it, although apparently it sounds like it's down in price already. Yeah,
but also, yeah, just because I didn't mention it very quickly, but fun boss battles, and that's what I like
that's
from these
what they do.
Games as well. Yeah. So yeah, that's all good.
Where would you? One quick thing. Mm-hmm. Where would you rate it in comparison to DMC, which I remember you talking about on the show before I joined?
So
because DMC is like joint with 3 Deluxe Edition, my favorite.
Well, so far, DMC's probably my favourite in the series, and this is up there, but not quite as out there fun at the moment, but very much in that wheelhouse, kind of comparable, at least, kind of thing. So, yeah, I'll come back when it's a game I'll probably play to completion, and then, yeah, I'll come back and let you know.
Capcom's killing it lately. You noticed?
Yeah.
What happened?
They're doing very well.
They did Street Fighter V, and then we all complained, and they went, all right, fine, here's your Monster Hunter, here's your new Resident Evil, here's a remake of your favourite Resident Evil. DMC's back, there you go. Microtransactions, not happy about. All right, we'll hide those. You don't have to worry about them.
Yeah, incidentally, that's something that isn't present in this game, but very much lurking in the background, and you never have to. I've never encountered it accidentally so far, like through playing the game, or had to hunt it out. That's apparently end level. There's some really high price moves that you'll have to grind for if you really want them, but they're taunts and stuff. So
yeah. I don't know. I have to play the game to find out if that completionist bug is going to grab me. We'll see.
Haven't you already talked about Treasure Stack, Tim?
He did last week, but he was going to touch back on it, but we're running long.
Yeah, we're running long. But just to say, I didn't have much more to say than that, other than it remains hard. I have got better at it. It's still hard, but it's good fun.
Jolly good. A bit like my Anthem update, right? Yep, still broken.
Well, no, yeah,
nothing to see here.
It isn't broken. It's actually
all
right.
No, it's not broken, but it's the same kind of, same kind of passing comment.
I have played quite a bit more of it, but it's fun, and one worth looking out for if you're a puzzle game fan. This is a slightly different puzzle game. Have a look.
Okay.
Splendid. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's about it. Is it not? I believe it is.
It is.
It is. So, it is. Tim,
yes.
Tuesday, specifically Tuesday the 19th of March.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening on that Tuesday?
It's forbidden, Dan.
It's forbidden.
It's forbidden.
Forbidden Tuesdays. Wow.
Can't
exciting.
Talk about it. Anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday, each Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. And if you come along, we have a different feature game every week. And if you play that feature game, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. This week's feature game is a real doozy, and we've got some extra things to go alongside it as well. So,
what things?
Well, as I said, I kind of alluded to in the way in, Forbidden, basically. This is our Forbidden week. Not only do we have a new game, Forbidden Sky, which is new to the bar, and is cracking up to 5-player cooperative board game by Matt Leacock, who has made previous games in the Forbidden series. I'll be back there in a second. But also Pandemic and Thunderbirds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he knows a good cooperative game, basically. So, two favourites previously in the bar, so much that we wore out our previous copies of Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert. So we'll be refreshing both of those for the evening as well. So we've got
back in the day going through many copies of Pandemic, trying to find the broken bits and the fresh bits. And
we've
stuff.
Got like refreshed and two new games to play of Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert. And the new game Forbidden Sky to play as well. So, and that's the one you can play and win on the evening. If you play any three of the games on the evening, you can possibly win a copy of Forbidden Sky. So it makes
for these refreshed board games, I shudder to think how much you charge people to come play your games,
it's
Tim.
Absolutely free, as long as you're paying for your drinks. Just buy your drinks at the bar and you can play as many games as you want. And we've also got a large library of games to play throughout.
And if you're not paying
basically
for your drinks, that's called stealing. We want nothing to do with you.
Yes, exactly.
By Grand Thar's hammer.
You
what a
this.
Stealing.
Some people don't, but you do. Right. If you want more details, you can check out the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, where there is details every week and a little training video to help you learn the game. Also, you can join our group on meetup.com.
Yep.
Search for Tabletop Tuesdays. Join the over 1,700 and plus people that have joined our meetup group there. And that's the other place you can check out.
Tim invented the new number, 1,700 and plus.
Or just come along to Loading Bar in Dalston on the 19th of March.
Yeah, Tabletop Tuesday, 19th of March, Dalston, London, loading. It's an unforbidden night. And for those that do not know, each and every Friday, the 5th of April, 2019, we do EGX Res Live BRB podcast night at EGX Res Tobacco Dock in London if you are attending.
Hey,
EGX
that's Res, a limited edition.
Who knows when the next one will roll along?
That's what we should have called it.
Yeah. If you are coming to EGX Res at Tobacco Dock in London from the 4th of April to the 6th of April, then you can see us on stage on the 5th of April at the Fringe podcast celebration. I don't know. Live show night thing. But yeah, me and Tim will be on stage. We will have people with us and we will be giving away prizes as well as doing a live version of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. If you're not going to EGX Res, then maybe check it out yourself. You might be tempted to come along. There are a lot of cool games on offer.
Also, indeed, we have something else to announce from around that time as well.
Me and Tim are getting married.
No, I don't.
Well,
I don't,
you guys. Know if I it was necessarily only a matter of time.
Even told you, gentlemen, about this, but also Tabletop Tuesday, as part has been announced on the 2nd and 9th of April to be part of the London Games Festival.
We are slowly taking over Tim's favourite show.
Those are Tuesdays.
Yeah, well done. We are slowly taking over EGX. Again.
Slowly taking over Tuesday.
That too. Why not?
Yeah.
And Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Anyway, before I feel that, unassailable urge to reach into the internet and throttle Coleman for seeing
for
that, we better
weekend,
go.
But we
shut up.
What? No, see, we're part of the Fringe lineup for Eurogamer.
Yeah.
At Resd.
Yeah.
And we're part of the Fringe for the festival for London. So we're Fringe. We are Fringe.
Right.
I don't know what
I don't have a Fringe.
With Coleman singing a Rebecca Black song.
Oh.
We have to get
you. Oh, wow, you remembered the name. Well done.
Mm.
Rebecca Black diehard fan.
I certainly am. Mm. Can't get enough of it.
Take that, diehard fan. We've got nothing to stick to Tim yet.
We better go.
Yep.
I think we should, but we also ought to say thank you to some people as well. I'd like to say thank you to Freya Goddard from Facebook.
And on Twitter, thank you to Matt, and thank you to Richard Kirk, who continues with the memes.
Excellent.
There was one about Dan not landing a goose joke, and there was another one. I can't remember what it was. Sorry. Things failed. My memory fails me at this point, so hey. But yes, if you want to leave some comments yourself, we'd love if you'd left some comments or some questions or whatever you feel to contribute to the show. You can do so on facebook.com/bigredbarrel, on twitter.com/bigredbarrel, or at bigredbarrel if you want to search that way. And also on the Big Red Barrel website itself, bigredbarrel.com, in the comment section of this here podcast. And if you fancy being really generous, how about jumping over to iTunes and giving us a review on that there podcast app service thing. Our favorite flavor is 5, but you know, do whatever you want. If you fancy like slagging us off, then why not just like write a really mean review but still give us 5 stars? It still looks good for us.
Yeah.
Don't do it the other way around. Don't write something nice and then give us a 1 star.
No, that's someone tried that before and made us sad.
I've seen it happen a couple of times. yeah I've seen you get 4 stars. You can have 1 back when John returns, you know?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. No, 5 stars is what we need. Yeah. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
Yes.
Speaking of going home.
Right. Yeah, talking of which, we really, really ought to go now. So we are going to go. So thank you ever so much for listening, ladies and gents. As Coleman says, make sure you point your internet at bigredbarrel.com or anything with /bigredbarrel after it, because, hey, why not? Yeah, pretty much nothing else to do other than to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I have been Coleman.
And you, dear listener, have been you.
Whoa! Hello, you.
I know.
What are you doing here?
Hi. So anyway, that's your lot. Thank you ever so much for downloading us once again and for allowing us to nestle in your ear places. And until next time, dear listener, doodle bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.